Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Just a few more comments on the protests going on around the country. I said it before, let me repeat it. These are not just anti-war protests, pro-Palestine protests. These are anti-Israel protests. This is anti-Semitism. At almost all of these protests, you see the signs, the banners, from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. And the crazy thing, many of the kids holding those signs have no idea what that means. What that means, the river is the Jordan River, the sea is the Mediterranean. What is in between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean? The entire nation of Israel. They are advocating the destruction of an independent nation, a sovereign nation, and not only the destruction of the nation, but the death of all the people in it. So, again, please do not buy what you're going to hear in the news that these are just peaceful protesters who care about Palestinians. No, it's much, much, much deeper than that. Now, is it true that many of the protesters have no clue what they're doing? They are basically brain dead, and they have believed what somebody told them. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea the history of Israel or Palestine. It's a protest, so I'm going to go protest. Many of them are just completely ignorant. They're just dumb. But the organizers are not dumb, and they're not ignorant. Okay, to what happened last night at Ohio State University. Number one, we need to understand it is a constitutional right to protest. Part of our free speech guarantee of the Constitution. It's a part of the American fabric to protest. I mean, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of pro-life protests have we seen? Washington, D.C., at the State House, here in Columbus, protests in front of Planned Parenthood, okay? So I have no problem with the protest, and neither should anyone else. If people want to protest at Ohio State University, fine. But there are laws that exist. And at Ohio State, you are forbidden by law to do anything overnight. You can't camp out in the commons. Can't do that. It's illegal. And if the protest becomes unruly, the university has the right to say disperse. Okay, you've protested, fine, it's time to go home. That's exactly what happened last night. The police and so forth left the protesters completely alone all day long, and it was peaceful. It was well organized, but it was peaceful. At 10 o'clock, it's time to go home. It's time to go home. You can't stay here overnight. They had tents. They were going to camp out. No, that's a violation of the law. And so the university, and I do not believe this would have happened under the previous administration. I don't think the previous female president, I don't think she would have had the guts, the character to do what the current administration did. They warned all of the protesters. Hey, you're going to feel free to protest. That's fine. But when the time comes this evening, you need to disperse. That's just the way it's going to be. The protesters were told that. They were warned that repeatedly. They didn't disperse. And so they brought out campus police and the Highway Patrol in numbers. I don't know how many were there, but a large presence of law enforcement. And law enforcement came up and tried desperately. I watched it. Again, the local TV station covered it live for one solid hour. And you could see the police talking calmly to the protesters. Hey, guys, it's really time to leave. I don't want to hassle you. You have a right to protest, but it's time to leave. And would you please disperse? Go on. They refused. So they refused a lawful order by law enforcement. At that point, everyone involved in the protest are violating the law. And so the police, and again, I watched it for an hour, and I would imagine some of you did as well. They showed remarkable constraint. I was so proud of our Ohio State Highway Patrol and the Ohio State University Police. I don't believe Columbus Police got involved. And they began moving the protesters out. They formed a line, and they said, got to move, go, you got to move. We're giving you a lawful order. Disperse. You've been warned. Leave. It's time to leave. And they formed a line, and they began moving the protesters. Those that resisted forcefully, they arrested them. Of course they did. How do you allow people to continue disobeying the law? And so at first there were three, and then there was five. From what I understand, when it was all said and done, I think about 30 people were arrested for criminal trespassing. They were not manhandled. They were put on the ground. They were handcuffed because they resisted a lawful command. And from what I'm reading this morning or today, about 30 people total were arrested. They were not roughed up. And again, I want to commend those officers who were in a very, very difficult position. People yelling, screaming, shouting, spitting at them. Water bottles were thrown, which is a projectile. And they showed incredible restraint. It took them about an hour, but they dispersed the crowd. And they did it without anybody getting hurt. They did it without anybody getting out of control. Every one of those officers should be commended for the way they handled the situation. And the Ohio State University should be commended as well. They allowed protesters all day long. Fine. That's okay. But then at night, when things can and often do get out of hand, they called in law enforcement and did what they needed to do. But let me just say one more time, what just disgusted me about our local TV station. Many times in that hour, the protesters were given a voice, a microphone. This is terrible. These police, they're agitating. I don't know why the police are, they weren't agitating. And the crazy thing was the camera was showing the restraint of the police officers and the resistance of the protesters. Not once did the local reporter ask any penetrating questions. Not once was there even a remote attempt at balance. Not once. The agitators, the protesters were given an enormous amount of time to condemn the police, to condemn Ohio State University, to condemn Israel. nothing of any kind of balance. And I was just disgusted. It was obvious, one full hour of live coverage just to be sensational. We are showing live coverage. Give me a break. All right, I'm done. If you want to comment, if you saw, if you have different thoughts, give me a call. 877 Bob Live.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Well. Top of the hour. I don't have time to deal with it now. Top of the hour, we're going to talk Kanye West. Yeah. Ye? Yeah. Uh-huh. If you will remember, a couple of years ago, he got converted, and many of the big mega churches had Kanye West in to speak. He started his own church movement, and a whole bunch of evangelical Christians got on the bandwagon. If you were listening during that time, I warned you. I'm not always right, but every once in a while, we'll talk about that at the top of the hour. Don't have time now. This is a shocker. We've stayed, the protests are kind of political, but we've stayed away from Biden and Trump and all that so far. But here is a shocker. The New York Times has come out and absolutely shredded Joe Biden. Really? The New York Times, left-leaning New York Times, that is almost a subsidiary of the Democratic National Committee? Yeah. And that's not an exaggeration. The New York Times is almost a subsidiary of the Democratic National Committee. But they are ticked off with Joe Biden because he won't talk to the press. Well, we know why he won't talk to the press. Every time he does, he makes up a story, he exaggerates, he completely lies, he stumbles, he gets confused, he calls one world leader by another world leader's name, he repeats stories about Amtrak, his uncle getting eaten by cannibals, stories about his grandfather that have been proven to be false. Of course he doesn't talk to the press. Well, here's what, at least in part, here is what the New York Times has said. I think this came out yesterday. This, again, is from the New York Times, their editorial board. Quote, "For anyone who understands the role of the free press in a democracy, it should be troubling that President Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term. The president occupies the most important office in our nation, and the press plays a vital role in providing insights into his thinking and worldview, allowing the public to assess his record and hold him to account. Mr. Biden has granted far fewer press conferences and sit-down interviews with independent journalists than all of his predecessors." Yeah, all. American history. They go on. "It is true that the Times has sought an on-the-record interview with Mr. Biden, as it has done with all presidents going back more than a century. If the president chooses not to sit down with the Times because he dislikes our independent coverage, that is his right, and we will continue to cover him fully and fairly either way." Quote, Then they go on about Vice President Harris. In meetings with Vice President Harris and other administration officials, the publisher of the Times has focused on a higher principle. That's systematically avoiding interviews and questions from major news organizations doesn't just undermine an important norm. It also establishes a dangerous precedent that future presidents can use to avoid scrutiny and accountability. That is why Mr. Sulzberger, part of the Times, has repeatedly urged the White House to have the president sit down with the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, CNN, and other major independent news organizations that millions of Americans rely on to understand their government. Wow! The New York Times realizes the president doesn't want to talk to the press. Remember during the presidential campaign, Joe Biden said his would be the most transparent administration in history. Instead, it has been the most secretive administration in history. It's a fact. Joe Biden has spoken with the press less than any president in modern history. Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, the other Bush, Carter, fewer press conferences, less interaction with the American press than any president in American history. Now, with all of the questions swirling about his mental competency, do you begin to understand? Now, I'm not into conspiracies. I'm really, really not. But I am becoming more and more convinced that President Biden's handlers give him some kind of drug. The difference between the State of the Union address and his interaction the very next day, night and day, absolute night and day. It was like two completely different people. There's something going on here.